analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee through the Bible. We're going from Genesis to Revelation. It is a great story. I had the opportunity years ago to teach high school students, and we went from Genesis to Revelation 10 times in 10 years. People said, where'd you learn the Bible? I went to a great Bible school, went to two great Bible schools, and I got a couple of degrees, and I really liked that, but I learned the Bible teaching a chapel at a Christian school. Because we went just real simple, 30-minute class. We went from Genesis to Revelation, just the stories of the Bible, all the main stories of the Bible. And so it was just the greatest experience of my life. I look back on it, I thought, God, you were so good to me that I had this opportunity to do this. And so so we're going to pick up the day in Joshua chapter 3. They're at the Jordan. Finally, after 400 years, they're finally getting to go into the promised land. And so getting ready to cross the road, and we're getting ready to go to Jericho. Now, they've made movies about it in the walls of Jericho, and they've written stories, sung songs. But here's the real story from the Word of God. So pay attention. If you got your Bible, you can follow along with Joshua chapter 3. So here we start. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. You know, leading the way were the priests. Now, we're getting ready to cross the river. The priests led the way, carrying the ark. Behind them came the Levites, carrying the pieces of the tabernacle. Then all the people followed. When they came to the Jordan, it was flooded over its banks. On the other side, they saw the green hills, the beautiful fields of Canaan. But the river was too deep. It was too swift for them to cross. They camped by the river and waited for the flood to pass. Perhaps the people of Jericho looked at the flood of the river and thought, hey, we're safe from the Israelites for a while. They will never be able to cross this river while it's flooded. After 3 days of waiting, the officers went through the camp and told the people, when you see the priests carrying the ark of the Lord, be ready to follow it. Joshua said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How excited the people were. At last, they were going to enter Canaan. The next day, Joshua told the priests, take the ark and pass before the people. Soon, everybody's ready to go. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Tell the priests to carry the ark to the Jordan. When they came to the brink of the water, have them stand still. And they did as the Lord commanded. When the priest stepped into the water, the flood water stopped. Stopped, can you believe it? Just like when they crossed the Red Sea. The flood water stopped flowing and stood up on one side. All the water ran off the river's bed. And the people crossed on dry land. You ever heard this story before? God's a great God. God wanted the Israelites to always remember how he'd helped them cross the Jordan. He told Joshua, command one man from each tribe to take a stone from the middle of the river where the priests stand with the ark and with the children. I want you, when your children see these 12 large stones, they will ask their fathers, what are these large stones? Where did they come from? Then the fathers will tell their children how I brought them across the Jordan. These stones will be a memorial to the children of Israel forever and ever. After the men picked up their stones, the priests carried the ark to Canaan side of the river. As soon as the priest's foot touched the shore, the waters flooded the rivers before. Soon, news reached Jericho, all the neighbors, that the Israelites had crossed the river. They heard that God had dried up and flooded the flooded Jordan River to let the Israelites cross over. All the people of Canaan were afraid because the Israelites served a mighty God. Man, they're not afraid of Israel. They're afraid of the God of Israel. On the plains near Jericho, the Israelites made camp. They called the place Gilgal. Here they gathered grain from the fields around Jericho. Those who had been born in the wilderness had never eaten grain before. They found fruit, too. Oh, man, how much they enjoyed the good food of Canaan. For 40 years, God had sent the Israelites fresh manna from heaven each day except the Sabbath. Now, they did not need manna anymore, for they had come to a land of good grain, fruit, and vegetables. Never again did manna fall. Chapter 5 of Joshua. While the Israelites camped at Gilgal, Joshua went out to see the city of Jericho. He looked at the great stone that surrounded the city. He must have wondered, how's this army force ever, how are we ever going to get inside? Since the people of Jericho were expecting the Israelites to attack, they locked the gate. They made it secure. No one wanted to leave the city while the Israelites were outside. Joshua walked about and wondered too. Man, then he saw a strange man dressed like a soldier carrying a bright sword. Joshua asked, "Are you for us or for the people of Jericho?" The stranger answered, "I am the captain of the army of the Lord. I am the captain of the army of the Lord." Joshua fell on his face and he worshiped. Then he asked, "What does the Lord want me to do?" The angel says, "Take off your shoes," the captain said, "for the place you stand is holy ground." And the Lord let Joshua know how the Israelites were to attack Jericho. The city would be theirs if they obeyed the Lord's command. When Joshua turned to camp, he told the people what the Lord wanted to do. All the people were ready to obey. They marched around the great city of Jericho the first day. On the next day, they did the same, where God had commanded them to march around the great stone wall for a week. When the people of Jericho looked at their windows, they saw the great army march around the city. Behind the soldiers were the Saban priests blowing the trumpets made of ram's horns. Behind the others were priests carrying a strange-looking box on poles. They came, all the people of Israel. Such a long parade they made. None of the Israelites shouted or talked loudly. The only sound was the tread of their feet and the noise of the trumpets. The people of Jericho watched with great company. They had marched all the way around the wall, all the way around the camp. "What does this mean?" the people of Jericho wondered. "We can understand these Israelites. They don't even fight. They don't fight like other men." When Rahab saw the Israelites marching around the wall, she knew they were going to capture Jericho. She brought her father, her mother, and her sisters and her brothers into her house. They looked out of the windows and they saw the red cord hanging out. Together they watched the people who worshiped the one true God. The next day, the people of Jericho saw again the strange company march around their city. They saw the same thing the third day and the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. Finally, they decided the Israelites were only going to try to scare them. But on the seventh day, the Israelites got up early. They prepared for a very, very long march. They knew that this day victory would come. This time they walked around the walls of Jericho, not once, but seven times. Now, people, can you imagine? I mean, that's a long way around that wall. They're going to do it seven times. This is an all-day event. Then the seventh time around, the priests blew loudly on the trumpets. At that signal, the people shouted, for they knew the Lord had given them the city. So they blow the trumpets. Then they shout real loud. When they shouted loud, the walls fell. That moment, walls began to tremble. The walls shook, and they all fell down flat. Joshua told the two men who spied on Jericho, "Go to Rahab's house. Bring her and her family to safety as you promised." "Soldiers," he said, "take all the gold, the silver, and the brass from the city for the tabernacle of the Lord. Do not take anything for yourselves, or you and for all the camp of Israel will be in great trouble. Don't touch the stuff." Finally, they burned the city of Jericho. Only Rahab and her family were saved. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Joshua chapter 7. After the victory of Jericho, the Israelites wanted to move farther to the land of Canaan. Joshua sent spies to Ai, the next town. "Go up, view the country," he told them. When they returned and told Joshua, "Look, we're only going to need 3,000 men to take the city. It is small." Joshua sent 3,000 men to Ai. This time the soldiers did not return with shouts of victory. Instead, they came running with the men, running from the men of Ai right behind them. A few brave Israelites lost their lives in the battle. How discouraged the Israelites were at this defeat. Joshua was so troubled. He tore his clothes. He fell down on his face before God. And it was a long time before he could even find words to say. Finally, he prayed, "Oh, Lord God, why did you let this happen?" Have you ever had that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Sure, everybody's done it. "God, why did you let this happen? Why did our men turn their backs on their enemies? What will people say about our God when they know we have been defeated?" And God said, "I cannot help the Israelites when there is sin in the camp. I command that no one should take anything for himself from Jericho, but somebody's disobeyed." The next day, Joshua searched for the man who had done this. Joshua discovered that Achan was the guilty man. Joshua told him, "My son, confess your wrong before the Lord. Tell me what you have done. Don't hide this from me." Achan said, "You're right. I've sinned against the Lord. In one of the houses of Jericho, I saw a beautiful robe and much silver and gold. I wanted it so much, I took it. And they are buried beneath my tent. You'll find the robe on top with the silver and gold under it." Josh sent messengers to Achan's tent. They dug around. They found the things Achan had taken. And Josh commanded that Achan and everything that belonged to him were brought to a place in the valley outside the camp. Then the Israelites stoned his family, and they burned everything in the that they had brought. On top of the ashes, they piled stones. Whenever the Israelites saw the pile of stones, they remembered that God had punished the man who had disobeyed him. Then the Lord told Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Go to Ai. The city and the land will be yours. The cattle and the things there you will find belong to you." Joshua chose 30 men, brave men. He sent them to Ai at night. "Go a little beyond the city," he told them. "Wait there." In the morning, Joshua's people started toward Ai. They pitched their camp on the north side of the city. Then he sent 5,000 soldiers to the west side of the city. Joshua and some of his men came to fight the soldiers. Ai said this, "The Israelites pretended that they were beaten and ran. After them came the soldiers of Ai in hot pursuit. When they were far enough away from the city, Joshua gave the signal, and the soldiers were waiting behind the city. They entered it. And the soldiers of Ai ran after Joshua's men, but they must have thought, what cowardly men these Israelites are. But when they started back to their city, they saw Joshua had trapped them. More soldiers were coming behind them, and their city was on fire. This was another great victory for the people who had obeyed God." God always has stuff going on. He always has something on his side. Now, when this happened in Deuteronomy 27, after the great victory, Joshua led the Israelites further north to Mount Ebal. They stopped at a place where Abraham had once built an altar to worship God. I mean, this land's famous. God's been here before. Before Moses died, he had commanded Joshua, "When you get to Mount Ebal, you shall set up stones and plaster them together and make an altar to the Lord. On the stones of the altar, you are to write very clearly these words of the law. When you are finished, all will clearly see these words, and the people will worship and they'll rejoice together." Now that Joshua had come to Mount Ebal, he did just as God had promised. He said this. He said, "All the men of Israel and all the women and all the boys and girls went to Joshua, the place of worship. It was a beautiful valley, shaped like a bowl, lying between two mountains. Mount Ebal is on the north, Mount Gerizim on the south. As Moses commanded, he sent the tribes and stood on the slope of the mountain. And the other six stood by the slope on the opposite mountain. In the valley between, there was an altar. Here Joshua and the Levites offered sacrifices to God. The priests and Levites read to the people all of God's laws that Moses had written in a book. The people remembered the words of the Lord that Moses had told them. They remembered that they had promised to obey these words. God's always trying to, you guys got to listen. God's always trying to put us in remembrance of his word. He's always trying to remind us what he said and what he told us. Because God's good. He's good all the time. God does not change his mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can read your Bible. God's not going to change it. God is a consistent, steady, never-changing, ever-loving God. As the priests and Levites read each blessing God had promised, the Israelites would obey him. The tribes on the slope of Mount Gerizim shouted, "Amen." And the voices rang out across the valley to the people who stood on the other slope. Then the priests and the Levites read each trouble that would come to the people if they disobeyed God. Then the people of Mount Ebal shouted, "Amen." So one side, they read the blessings. Everybody shouts, "Amen." On the side, they read the curses if they disobey. They shout, "Amen." God said, "This is right, this is wrong. Do what's right, don't do what's wrong. Do what's right, don't do what's wrong." Sounds like a parent talking to the 3 or 5 year old. Do what's right, don't do what's wrong. That's why we're to train up a child in the way it should go. He says, their voices echoed through the whole valley. By saying amen to the words of God's laws, the Israelites meant, "Let it be so." What a wonderful meeting it was. After the words of the law were read aloud, they were written on the stones of the altar for everyone to read. At the evening, the Israelites returned to their camp at Gilgal. Man, we're getting ready to go somewhere. Now, God doesn't just do miracles. God also wants you to know his word. God said he watches over his word to perform it. Where do miracles come from? The word of God. How? Somebody speaks the word of God. Somebody shares the word of God. How does somebody get saved? You share the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so don't ever make fun of the Bible. People say, "Well, it's an old book." Yeah, well, it's still relevant today. It's still God's word. It'll never change. It still has power. It can heal. It can deliver. It can save. It can give wisdom and give direction and give guidance. It is the living, ever living word of God. So let's take time and read it every now and then. Read your proverb every day. Read a psalm. It will stir up a hunger in you like you never imagined. You'll be blessed. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.